Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
It's an app.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics, if you want to win this series, you've got to play more aggressive than what we're seeing right now. And the Bucks today did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, and that's not going to get it done. Even with Giannis out there, you've got to be up for the challenge. You're supposed to be getting better as the series is going along.
Right.
You're supposed to be adapting to what the Bucks do. You have the better roster. You're supposed to be getting better shots. You had an unbelievable game one. I guess that was an anomaly. But you're supposed to keep battling and get back to eventually you have the coach to make the right adjustment. You have the players that share the ball. You have more shooting on the floor. But so far, last two games have not been the case.
Great job by Scal, team broadcaster. NBC Sports Boston, right after that game 3 loss on Friday night at the Garden. He's not blaming the officials. He's looking at the team. He's looking at the Celtics, Maz. So you're supposed to be getting better. You're supposed to be adapting. You got the better roster. You got more shooters. You got the coaching. You're supposed to keep battling. That's the deal. And he says, what, game one's an anomaly? So I thought that was good analysis by Scal, and there it is for you. And if you lose tonight, you're going to lose this series. And you might be facing a big reset. And we've been talking about it all season long. And, you know, some people think Kyrie's staying. Some people think he's going. If you think Kyrie's staying, it's going to be severely challenged if they get blown out here in 5 games in the second round. And I don't know. I think the odds tilt heavily in favor of him leaving. And then you look at, you know, what that trade meant to you, what that means going forward, that whole Kyrie run here, and I put that in quotation marks because it wasn't quite a run. He's here for 2 years. He gets hurt in year one and then bows out in the second round in year two. That is a disaster. That's a disaster that no one saw coming. And that's going to, I don't know, I think set the organization back or just put you on a totally different path.
I think it'll leave them in neutral. You know, they'll be like a 4 or 5 seed for the next handful of years. They'll be competitive, but that's about it.
I mean, well, they just have to go in a different direction, Jim. And, you know, who knows what that is. I just think the ramifications are seismic if you lose in this round. Okay, so it's not tonight, but I think if you lose tonight, the series is over.
Well, right. So there is a link there. I get that. And to me, it is. It's about the round. But if you lose this one, you're toast. You're going to win 2. You're going to win 3 times in Milwaukee in 4 tries.
And if they lose in round 2, where's Kyrie?
I think adios
on the Acela.
Yeah, see you later.
And so you got, and that resets the whole thing.
I mean, if they're a finalist, a legit finalist level team, this game tonight should be a layup.
Yep. And I still think they are, by the way.
So, I'm not as convinced. I told you on Friday night, what bothered me is the way they wilted. Again, they hit Milwaukee. They got up 12, and then Milwaukee didn't fold. And then the Celtics did. It's like they expected Milwaukee to implode. The Bucks didn't, and so they didn't know what to do. Then they fell behind, and it was over. And I just think, honestly, I think they're soft. I came to that conclusion in the middle of the year. I started to feel better about it late. And the Indiana series was deceiving, as Murray pointed out. But after game 1 of the Bucks, I felt better about it. But you know what? They're soft. And they've been soft all year.
So they have been. I'm just reserving judgment on that because, again, I hate to keep repeating myself, but I see teams shut it down routinely.
When sure.
Even in the playoffs. In the playoffs, I see it all the time. You know how many? It's really a disgrace, frankly. And it's not a good statement about the league. How many blowouts there are in the postseason? It's routine. The first 2 games of the series. Bucks, you know, the Bucks ran into a wall in game 1, realized they weren't going to win, they quit.
A lot of it's just borderline unwatchable, and not just this series.
No, but the Celtics in game 2 run into a wall, realize they're not going to win, quit. I mean, just the games we're watching, but look around the league. There's a ton of blowouts.
No, it happens routinely now, way more than it used to in this league. And I don't know.
So I'm sorry to cut you off. So are the Celtics soft quitters, or is that just an NBA thing? That's what I'm saying to you.
I tell you, it's both. They're relative to other teams. I think Milwaukee's tougher than they are. I do. And I don't mean that in the physical sense. I mean that in the competitive sense, the mental toughness, the bounce back factor. Again, just like, you know, it's impossible to compare sports. But we look at the Bruins and we say there's a bounce back factor there. Championship teams and championship level teams, even if they don't win it all, they all have a bounce back factor. They get hit, they get up, they hit back. The Celtics don't. They don't.
Well, let's see.
So I hope I'm wrong. I hope it can change, but I think they've been this all year.
They still are a more talented team. I don't know who you give the coaching edge to, and we were mocking Budenholzer after game one, but I think he deserves credit for getting Giannis to go to the rim every single time down the floor. I think that takes a good amount of discipline and patience just to every single – we all say it. It's so easy to say. If you had a guy like Giannis, you'd tell him the same thing every time. Take it to the rim. You're going to get a shot or you'll go to the line and do it every time until you can't do it. And you always say that and it never happens. No one ever does it. The Bucks did it. I mean, to an absurd, clownish degree. And the refs, you know, let them do it. So why would the Bucks ever stop? Budenholzer deserves credit for that. But anyway, Brent Stevens is a heck of a coach, whether you give him the edge over Budenholzer or not. You've got a deeper roster. You've got more shooters. I'm still not convinced Giannis is better than Kyrie at this stage of the game. I just think Giannis was more aggressive than Kyrie and is bigger, so that plays to him. But there's no excuse. You're still the better team. You should win this series. And I'd be stunned. Stunned if they don't win tonight. They're going to get the calls. You know it, coming off of what happened on Friday. Kyrie's due to have a night at home. Okay.
You have to think some of these bums like Pat Connaughton and George Hill are going to turn back into pumpkins.
Pat Connaughton and George Hill are not going to combine for 35 points again. I can guarantee you that.
Connaughton.
What is it?
You said added a G.
Yeah, you said Connington.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect.
It's Arlington's own.
But whatever. Okay?
That guy's a stiff.
I would be stunned if the Celtics don't win tonight and we're not going to Game 7. And I have you in Game 7, too. I got the Celtics in Game 7. So my mind has not changed on that. So... there's that.
Pat Connaughton. Here his Twitter handle is PlanetPat5. Planet. Oh, please.
He lit you up the other day. He was out hustling you. He was out rebounding. Remember that rebound that he skied over Kyrie for?
Yes.
That's embarrassing
to
the Celtics.
No, you said you got embarrassed. You get your pants pulled down by a tool bag. Seriously, that guy, he's a stiff. He's a hack. My God. Like, that was brutal what happened in that game the other night. The Celtics should be ashamed of themselves.
And if you want to complain about the officiating, again, Scal had a great point. And, you know, I'll play it for you again right here. Jimmy, play Scal 1. Scal, I think this was his opening take on the team broadcasted network. So I give Draper and Scal a lot of credit for their analysis right after this game. Here's Scal's opening take in the postgame on Friday night.
Don't you kind of feel that if a team is going to the basket on you and getting to the free throw line, don't you kind of feel like you got to attack the rim and you can't settle for jump shots? I get it. If it's there, you're supposed to take it. But I look at the game a little differently than that. I know everyone's like, hey, this is my shot. It's my shot. I got to take my shot. I look at it like a team is aggressively going and taking you and punching you in the face when they have the ball and going right to the front of the rim and the referees are calling a tight game. My guess is if you take the ball to the basket, you'll get easy looks and you'll get to the free throw line. But that didn't happen today. A lot of settling on jump shots, a lot of fadeaways, and a lot of people will say the refs. You go back and watch those were fouls. When Milwaukee was putting their head down and going to the basket, the Celtics were not pulling their hands back, didn't have the discipline, and were fouling Milwaukee. And therefore, they got rhythm, they got free throws, and they were able to set their defense.
Good job by Scal. Okay. One, they were fouls. But two, he says it. If you go to the rim, you get the same calls. That's the way they were calling the game. If you gave the refs a reason to square off the fouls before the fourth quarter, where it got embarrassing and it was clear the refs were just reffing to the stat sheet. Okay, that I totally agree with. But it was in their mind, right? The refs want to keep it even unless the game's totally fixed. And believe me, they don't want Milwaukee over Boston. The game wasn't totally fixed. The refs want to square off the free throws. In hockey, they do it too. Just as bad. Maybe even worse.
They don't want to give you a reason to blame the officiating.
So if you go to the rim while Giannis is going to the rim, they're going to square off those free throws. Except you didn't go, and Maz did a good job before laying out all the shots during that third quarter run. You were all hitting, you were all chucking up threes and fadeaways.
I mean, I just think that it comes down to the see, but you know who doesn't go to the rim? Soft teams. That's who doesn't go. They're either afraid to go in there or they get demoralized when they do. And look, the Bucks have a clear edge in the paint in this series. They got trees in there. So what happens is the Celtics go in a couple of times, they don't get calls or they miss and they're forced into bad shots or they get rejected or altered or whatever, and then they stop going and they just sit there and fire up threes. And this part of it frustrates me with regard to Stevens, because I sort of look at it and go, well, this is what you built too. This is what you want.
Oh, totally.
You want the guy sitting out there. It's my, you know, like Scal was saying, it's my shot. This is what they taught me to take. In a game like this, you got to throw some of that out and you got to go to the hoop.
Okay, to your phones, Celtics, Bruins, whatever you want. I promise, right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Drives around, Kyrie gets to the rim, scored on the foul. And that's going to do it here in game three.
Whoa. I mean, it's inevitable. Guy comes down almost six times in a row, gets free throws. You know, what are you really going to do? It's slowing the game down. So the run that you would hope to make in a quarter like that doesn't happen. I mean, shot 22 on the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, it's just slowing the game down.
After game three the other night, I will say, you know, I to blame the officiating is missing the mark, because if you were aggressive, I think you would have gotten the same calls. That being said, I hated the officiating. I mean,
too tight.
Who likes a game like that?
Oh, it's brutal.
Again, look, just the sheer number of it tells you what you need to know. 22 free throw attempts, 40 in two games.
Come on.
He's averaging 20 trips, you know, 20 free throws. It's 10 trips, right? But he's averaging 20 free throws in two games. I mean, that's outrageous. I mean,
is that what the sport is?
No, but it's okay for us or viewers or those in the building as fans to bitch about it. And I understand Kyrie Irving's frustrations, but dude, you can't let that affect you. Like, you can't give up just because, oh, they've slowed the pace down and we can't get anything going.
Right, no. It's the Celtics deserve criticism for letting it get crawl in their heads in that game and not responding and not realizing how the game was being called and go to the rim yourself. And you'll get those calls. That's what the refs want to do. They want to even out the calls. You didn't give them any reason to do it. But there are times, and I don't mean to make this a basketball hockey thing. The NBA is in a good spot. It's a good league right now. It's a good product. And I have a lot of fun with it. But there is times that I watch basketball and I sort of say, this is a silly sport. I mean, this is kind of, you just have huge, giant men throwing themselves at each other every time down the floor. And you can really call whatever you wanted every time down the floor. And it's really just sort of at the mercy of the guys with the whistle. And that's what the sport can be. Especially when you have a guy like Giannis. You just put your head down and go to the rim. You're going to get a shot right at the rim or you're going to go to the free throw line. And if they're calling it by the letter of the law, that's going to happen every single time. And so if you have the discipline and the patience to do it every single time, that's what the game is. And so that's what the Bucks have done, to which I say, is that what we're doing here? Like, this isn't.
No, the problem is you, me, everyone in this room, we're all old enough to remember when it wasn't like that. That's one of the things that makes it so frustrating.
And not every team plays that way. I mean, Golden State plays a wonderful brand of basketball. The Celtics play a really nice brand of basketball when they're sharing the ball. San Antonio, there's a lot of great basketball out there. I hate the way Houston plays with that isolation ball and chuck and duck. I think that's a crappy product. And I think the Bucks are sort of a crappy product. It's this guy lowering his head and taking four steps to the rim. And if he's not doing that, he's chucking it out for some stiff to shoot a 30-foot bomb that goes in one out of every four times, and that's like their team. Like, that's it. That's the game. Well, it's not all that interesting because I'm not into the dunk. I'm not into the dips. Believe me, I'm a Bucks fan. As a Bucks fan, I want Giannis to put his head down and take four steps to the rim and go to the free throw line every time. I'm rooting for that. But I'm also objective to look at that and go, well, this isn't much of a product. This isn't all that interesting.
There are some repulsive hacks on that team. Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe.
Big Herman Munster stiffs just standing out there chucking three-pointers.
He is a stiff, too, man. He's a stiff Brooke Lopez.
God.
But I was just looking this up quickly because I wanted to see it, because it felt to me like Milwaukee really controlled the paint on both ends of the floor. That's why they won that game. And in game one, it was the Celtics, by the way. Right, the Celtics were way better in the paint in both games in game one. And so there you go. There's the difference in the series. Do you know how many shots Milwaukee took between the paint and the three-point line, the quote-unquote mid-range game? Based on this diagram I just saw.
Okay, how many shot attempts they have total for the game?
85-ish.
Okay, so
one was 87, one was 83. So call it 85.
Okay.
I don't remember which team.
So 85. Of their 85 shot attempts, mid-range, I'd say less than 20.
Four.
Oh, God.
Murray, look at this diagram right here over my shoulder. You see this?
Yeah.
This is the area, right? I'm not miscounting. Four. That's it.
Correct.
Four shots That's between
awful.
The paint and the – everything else is either outside the three-point line or in the paint. Now, the Celtics, by contrast, took, I don't know, like 15, 12, something like that. But, you know, so it's not that different. But the point is Milwaukee literally took almost none.
No. It's either Giannis taking four steps to the rim and shooting free throws – or chucking it out to some ungodly stiff standing not at the three-point line. The Bucks guys like to stand like 3 feet beyond the three-point line and just bombing.
Four. And they made one of them, right? So they missed three of the four. That was it. They took four. I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it and you say, wow, is that striking?
And you know who has a wonderful mid-range game, brilliant, is Middleton.
Outstanding.
But they've
taken it away from them.
Why are you shooting from 15? Shoot from 24, and it's worth an extra point. That's the nerds. You know, the mid-range shot is inefficient, Maz.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like – but, you know, the paint game for the freak in that game, and I keep wanting to say Giannis, you know, I struggle
say
with –
say whatever you want. We know you're
I struggle
about.
With
just
what
go.
To call him for crying out loud.
Just go.
But it's just annoying because if the league becomes again, the best big guy wins. What the hell do I need to watch for?
It's a little. It's not a good product. That I'll give you. Unless you like the dipsy do dunkaroo. Mike in West Roxbury on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey guys. Listen, I think it's huge tonight. Marcus Smart's going to come back. Impact on the game. I think in terms of the officiating, what's the thing that Marcus Smart is probably known best for? Jumping in there, taking a charge, might have an effect on the way that Giannis attacks the rim tonight. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think.
Okay, maybe one or two. I don't think Smart's going to do anything for Giannis. I think George Hill, you know, say goodbye to it. George Hill's not going to do anything anyway.
The perimeter defense should get better.
But don't tell me Marcus Smart can't have an impact on Connington or, you know.
Connington.
Whatever. One of those stiffs. Like, he can have an impact there.
Yeah, you know, again, I just don't see where Smart makes that much of a difference on the freak. And to me, it comes back to him. Like, what's he going to do? He can't guard him. He's too big.
Cam and Taunton on the B's. Give me a take.
Oh, my God. If this team commits another unforced – that's the thing that's most – the Carlo play, that was a brilliant play by the Columbus player. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head who it was. Went in there, forechecked, stripped out the puck, put it on net. Perfect. All the credit in the world to him. The Chara and the Marchand play, get your heads out of your ass and get the puck out of the Marchand play, for crying out loud. If McAvoy getting hurt, on that play. McAvoy's been your best skater the entire postseason. And another careless, sloppy play by Marchand. Almost Columbus should have won the game after they Bruins in the league. They should have scored twice because of careless turnovers. Get the puck out of the zone!
Okay, amen. The Chara and Marchand one with under 30 seconds left. Both of them unforgivable. I think Marchand was trying to make a little pass to Krejci at the blue line. Like, what are you doing, dude? Wire the thing down the ice, and if you've got to take another faceoff, take another faceoff. But, you know, you had more than enough time and space just to chip it to the red line, and he didn't. Oh, brutal.
So, again, they should just use the same approach that they have in their offensive zone on the power play. Just make the simple play. Just flip the puck out. What are you dinking around with it for?
And Rask saved your ass. Rask, do I actually now have confidence in Rask?
I never have confidence in the goalie. I treat them like place kickers.
Really?
Oh, God, no. Because you know that stinker's coming on any night. None of them play well every night.
I don't know. He looks locked in.
For the first time, maybe ever, I felt it at the end of the second period, into the third in that game, sitting in that building. I'm like, I said, the Bruins have the guy. They have the guy. He's dialed in. Do I actually feel confident in Rask? And not just, you know, be able to tell you that he plays well, which I can. But do I actually feel like he's got this? He's got your back? I felt that way in that build. And then they scored 3 goals in 8 minutes, which still weren't his fault, and he still saved your ass. But, like, I had that feeling for the first time. Like, oh, ooh.
Tortorella's worried about it, too. Again, when you hear the opposing coach start saying, we dented the other goalie, he wants that out there. He wants it between Rask's ears.
Okay, you Kentucky Derby people, you're not taking over the show, okay? So this is going to be what we call, Jimmy once coined a brilliant term, the lightning round. You folks have 20 seconds each. That's it. It's not a conversation. It's 20 seconds of your horse talk, and then please.
Yeah, you guys don't know the sport of king.
Tim and Attleboro, go.
I just want to say, you guys always talk about this time of year about how you can't find the channel. And this time, I'm trying to find the channel at the Bruins. I want to see some pregame. Oh, Red Sox have took over Nesson. Oh, let's go to NBCSN. Oh, nope, there's sled hockey on. Oh, no, let's go back to NBC. Nope, they're still reviewing the freaking game, whatever's going on there. Me and my brother were freaking out, and I said, you know what? Felger is going to have a conniption on Monday. That's it. Let's go, Bees.
Tim, great call. Blame replay. This is what replay does.
He's right. I had that exact experience. I couldn't find the freaking game there for him. It was going bananas.
Because
where the hell's a stupid game?
Because we're literally watching some horse's ass for 20 minutes to figure out whether he jumped a lane, which I didn't even know existed. Did you know they had lanes in horse racing?
No, but I didn't remember my experience until he brought up the sled hockey. I clicked on, I saw the sled hockey game. I said, what's going on here?
Hashtag replay doesn't work. Bob and Revere, go.
Hey, guys, I'll be real quick because it's apparent the three of you know nothing about horse racing. The reason why that horse was taken down was he changed lanes. Then the jockey brought him back in. The one horse who was affected by this went down to his knees and almost broke down.
Down to his knees? He went down to his knees. I don't think that horse would be here anymore. They almost locked hooves a little bit, but that's the kind of call I'm talking about. I can't let that take over the
well,
show.
They, no,
you got that horse?
Yeah, the people that know about horse racing, they call it Haas racing, H-O-S-S.
So go to the Haas racing channel, okay, and call there. We're talking about replay, but this is the last one I'll take all day. Matt and Natick, go.
Hey, Felger, here's the deal. If this happens on a random Saturday at Saratoga, they look at this and that horse is disqualified after 2 minutes. What made this challenging is that it's the biggest race in America. Like the previous caller said, you have to be clear of the horses behind you. If you're on the rail and you're clear, you can go to the middle of the track. The horse wasn't clear. What made it difficult was it's the biggest race that anyone that has a clue is turning into. That's the issue. They made the right call, okay, though.
All right, understood. 20 minutes later, where'd that 20 minutes go? That 20 is 20 minutes we'll never get back. A lot of you apparently now had to watch sled hockey instead of Bruins Stanley Cup playoff hockey. And in the meantime, they're talking about a rule that none of us knew existed, and I don't know horse races. I've been going to horse races my whole life, obviously not a lot, but I used to go to Arlington in Chicago when we lived in Milwaukee. I used to go to Suffolk Downs. Like, I'll place the occasional bet. I've gone to horse races plenty. I've never seen one reversed. I've never seen one reversed for that. I just haven't. So call me crazy. I blame replay. It doesn't work.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen it either. But, you know, why don't you toss it to Murray for the headlines, Haas?
Back your thoughts after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. I think one of the biggest points in our last game, in Game 5, is that we dented their goalie. I think that was very important. I think they've dented our goalie. We've dented their goalie in that third period, which is very important going into Game 6.
As John Tortorella today, that, you know, that confirms my feeling about how I felt about Rask at the end of the second, early third in that game on Saturday night, that he's dialed in and was controlling the series, because the opposing coach now feels the need to promote the fact that they dented him.
He's worried about it.
He's worried about it. So that feeling I had, I keep telling you that I had a feeling about Rask on Saturday night. I don't know if I've ever had, you know, like sort of true confidence. Like, they got the guy. This guy's controlling the game, and I think he's going to continue to control the game. You know, Rask has had stretches where he's done that over his career, obviously. But did you ever feel he was going to keep it going forward? And I've always been a little leery. I mean, I used to be a huge Tuukka guy when he was first coming up. But, you know, as the years went on and it always petered out, it's like, all right, maybe there's a ceiling here, and it was lower than I thought. So I've never had really confidence in him going forward, except on Saturday night. I was like, oh, I actually think he's controlling this game and he's going to continue to. I actually had that confidence. And maybe that confirms it, that the opposing coach felt the need to point that out. Now, was he dented?
I mean, to me, not really. You know, the only thing I didn't love, and look, I admit I am nitpicking to the highest degree here, okay? Because if you ask me what grade I give Rask, it's an A. I mean, he's been dynamite. And so particularly in the last couple of games, that game four in Columbus, he was just off the charts. So on the Dzingel goal, when he slid over, he was really low.
He got kinda small.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of crunched up. Now, look, the shot was a great shot. He still hit the roof. So I'm not sure he'd have gotten it either way. It's a very small, minor criticism. It's not his fault. And the third goal was an absolute freaking rocket.
Oh, God, no. So did they dent him? No, but did they teach themselves something, which is when Rask is going like this, the only way to beat him is bar down. You can't beat him along the ice. Okay, he's too good along the ice. And Foligno found that out. Atkinson found that out a couple times. You got to go roof on Tuukka Rask. And when you do that, you have a chance. If you're that skilled, you can go bar down, then that's where you got to beat him. So maybe they told themselves that. Do you blame him for that, for the scratchy goal, the replay goal?
I don't. I'll tell you why. Normally I would. Okay, normally I say you can't let one squeeze in the post like that. But there was a deflection involved. It was Grizzly stick, wasn't it?
Yes.
So you know, to me, Rask is moving because the puck's going to the front of the net. And then it changed direction. So it's not your typical, you know, it's not like the goal, who the hell, was it Bobrovsky earlier in the series? No, Game 7 in Toronto.
Anderson.
Yeah. God, it wasn't like that. You know, where Nordstrom fired it in the side there, and you just let it squeak by you.
So,
you know, to me, it was different. There was a deflection involved, so I let it go.
This is the one drawback to those butterfly guys. Jimmy, if you're not allowed to record this, okay? Take your finger off the button, please. This is an off-the-record comment.
Okay.
I mean, it lives on the podcast, but sure, go ahead.
Back when I played the position and we all stood up.
Oh, my God.
You're not allowed to replay that.
Yeah, I was a goalie in Pee-wees.
I was, up through high school. And you stood up. When the puck was along the side, you stood up and you hooked your arm around the bar and you were standing up and that pad was on the outside of the post and there was no opening. It was almost impossible for guys to score and they never scored like that. But now the butterfly guys, even when it's on the side, they got to have one knee down and one knee up and now you have like...
The VH, reverse VH.
Right, I don't even know what it is, but I think you're right. They call it the reverse, whatever.
Yeah, the reverse VH, yeah.
How do you know that?
I've read it.
Okay, so now there's like all these new methods. And when you're on the post, this is why there's openings on Anderson. There was an open there all these sort of cockamamie openings now, because even when the puck's on the side of the net, they want to be down. And so now you've opened up all these little crevasses, and so that's the one drawback to the butterfly, is that you find little openings there.
So, you know, and again, on this one, normally you see that kind of goal, and you're like, oh, my God. But that was sort of my initial reaction. Then I saw the replay and the deflection. And I said, well, you know, the puck's moving.
What are you going
to do? Yeah, the puck's moving to the front of the net. What do you want him to do, not go with the puck?
So it's not the number of goals. It's when you make them. So now Columbus has that furious rally. There's under 30 seconds left. And Atkinson's doorstep. And Rask is committed to this side of the net. And Atkinson's over here for a wipe-in goal. And Rask battles and gets that pad down and covers the whole net. And that save is epic. So I don't care if you won 8-7 or 3-2 or whatever. That save alone is—that's what we're talking about.
Well, and that save too, to me, stuck out too. That one and the one earlier on Foligno, because they were more athletic than what he typically does. And like, you know, the last one on Atkinson, how do you not look at that and say that was Thomas-esque? Like he's diving around, he's battling to keep that puck out of the net.
That was Thomas-esque.
It was Thomas-esque because, you know, one of the things you always heard was when Thomas had that run, I remember Cam Neely sitting right here saying, he just battles. He just battles to keep the puck out. And it's been the sort of criticism of Tuca that there isn't enough fighting there to keep the puck out sometimes. And on that one, he fought to keep the puck out, right? I mean, every last inch he fought for.
Little Tuca in the shorts.
So I just looked it up, by the way. Among goalies who played 10 games in the postseason, he's third. I'm sorry, second in save percentage.
Bishop's one, I think.
So but he's actually ahead of Bishop right now.
Oh.
The only guy ahead of him is Grubauer, who's played 10 games. Leonard with the Islanders is out. He was a little higher, too, but he's out. And the only other one is McElhaney, who's played, you know, 3 games. So he's playing as well as any goalie out there.
Conn Smythe favorite. But you know what you have to do to win the Conn Smythe?
You got to win the cup.
All right. So not even halfway there. Not even halfway there.
That's not true.
They're not halfway there.
The Conn Smythe, you don't have to win it to get in the Conn Smythe.
You just got to get there. You at least got to get there. I don't know. I can't tell you who lost the Stanley. No one got the Conn Smythe who lost in the second round. Let me put it to you that way.
Fair enough. Okay.
Or the conference finals. You got to get to the. You have to get. When's the last time someone won the Conn Smythe losing the Stanley Cup?
Chiguer. John Sebastian Chiguer.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
I thought he won the cup.
No, they lost. The Ducks, they lost that. That was 0-3.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Murray's got that stat for us.
I still like the odds of winning the cup.
Back to your phones after this long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSense. SMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180
actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Ben Mass. Wow. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lead for Kyrie, trying to dribble low, dangles it, steps back on Bledsoe, and sticks a three.
Ow. Yeah. Ooh. Did you just step on my toe?
That was nasty. Giannis, head of steam, goes into Horford, throws to the left corner. Mirotic up fakes, looking for the tie, and he's got it.
That was a smart play by him. Again, saying, look, I'm just going, you double team, I'm going to kick out to the shooter.
Kyrie works his way to the free throw line, bounce pass in the pocket for Tyson. Giannis meets him at the rim and rejects him clean. Middleton, return to Giannis, head of steam, runs into Ogilvy, kick out. Ilyasova rocks the three, got it. Yeah. Big swing, and the Bucks have the lead.
5-point swing then.
Middleton up the right side, pulls up for three. Got it. Net barely moved. Middleton steps away from Hayward. Tough three. Got it. That's a killer. Kyrie driving with Hill on his shoulder, loses the basketball. It just fell down. Middleton coming the other way. Moves it in the middle. Hill lays it up and in. 17-point game.
As I look at the score, you know, I thought that some of the numbers were going to shoot, you know, spark. They were going to come off the page, and the only thing that comes off the page is that third quarter and 22 free throws. Like I said, there are some things that we obviously can control, but the officiating, we're going to leave them alone next game. We're going to do a better job of walling up, better job of staying straight up, make sure that there aren't any eye-catching calls. We're just going to make sure we stay solid. I'm going to make sure I communicate with our guys that, hey, if this is the way we're going to play, we're not going to adjust to them. We're going to make them adjust to us.
All right, we'll see about that. Pretty big night for the Celtics organization, their future. It starts tonight, this round. Again, I think it impacts Kyrie's future. If you want to keep him, you got to go on a run. Keeping him after losing in the second round to the Bucks, and if you lose in five or something like that, oof. I don't know how that looks, and that whole Kyrie thing. We're going to find out in the next couple days about all that. So we got Celtics, we got Bruins on the board. Celtics again on our sister station, WROR, starting just after 7. I was just told the tip-off is really tight to 7 o'clock. It's like 7:02 or something because it's a TNT game and they go right up. Mm. Boom. So it's not
good.
It's not even like 7:08, 7:12 or whatever. It's like 7:02. It's 7. It's close to 7. So if you're coming down, get your fannies in here. But that game is on 105.7, our sister station. Bruins tonight on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's how we're divvying that up. We're going to talk about both of them all the way up till 6:30. Felgram has bonus coverage here tonight till 6:30 as we come to you from the Garden. Kyle in Providence on the Garden. Go ahead, Kyle.
Guys, the Garden's been an absolute joke so far this year. I can't believe it. Those bums out there in Ohio have been making us look terrible all series. They better pick it up tonight for the Celtics because I swear this is supposed to be a great sports city. It's been bad all season.
Yes, Kyle, were you at the Garden on Saturday night?
No, I was not, but I've seen the videos from it, and NBC, it sounded absolutely silent. I was there for games.
Okay, I'm just going to drop you.
It was bedlam.
Saturday was tremendous. I was lucky enough to be in the building. It was a tremendous night at the Garden. It was a classic Garden Bruins night. It was terrific. I do think, and I feel this on Nesson too, it's not mic'd properly. Or something.
Something doesn't translate, because I've heard this a lot.
It sounds quiet on TV. The Garden, and you know what? Sometimes we are quiet. It is. I'm not telling you we're the loudest fans. Usually the loud fans are in Yahooville. It's just, pay attention.
Yeah.
Like Columbus, right? Yeah. Like places where it doesn't matter. It's the only game in town, or they've never won anything. Like, you know, this ain't our first rodeo. We're not going to drop our pants for a second round game. So, yeah, we might be a little quiet. I think that's fair. But there's something about the way the building's mic'd. It sounds quiet as crap on Nesson. I always say that. It feels like it feels dead on TV. It does. But trust me, if you were in the building on Saturday, it was terrific.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was crazy.
And I think the Celtics crowd is great. I think the Celtics crowd is
playoff game on a Saturday. People were drinking since like noon.
Yeah, but I think the Celtics crowd is traditionally louder than a Bruins crowd and is a good crowd. I don't know what it sounds like on TV. It sounds quiet on TV. I agree. But in the building, trust me, it was not an issue on Saturday.
When they got behind, I think people got, you know,
tight.
Yeah. The Celtics now I'm talking about. Celtics.
We've got Veek in Rhode Island on the Bs. Go ahead, Veek.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of things. I do believe that the third quarter, I just don't want to look into it too much. I know Columbus scored, and I know Tortorella's talking about breaking, you know, cracking the armor or breaking the goalie or whatever. It took a prayer from Seth Jones at a bad angle and a weird deflection, and it took two Alex Ovechkin-like snapshots from two guys, one of which has done nothing since the trade deadline. The other one is a no-name, you know, defenseman in the slot. So, and I take a look at big picture. I'm just like, well, let's see if how that's going to translate into game six. I don't know. I think Rask is playing exceptionally well. I'd like to see how that manifests itself. And my second point on Brandon Carlo, I'm extremely encouraged by what I see through him, all things being considered. You know, the past two-seat playoff runs prior to he's been injured, this is his first crack at it, and I think he's turned himself into quite a player. Aside, you know, there's going to be a couple of wrinkles, you know, here and there, but that play...
Well, Veek, let me stop you. I got those two things, okay? I'm glad you brought up Carlo. He set up the game-winning play.
Absolutely, he did, and he harassed Panarin the whole game.
He picked Panarin's pocket, he holds the puck, was patient with it, finds Marchand, sends him in for the game-winning goal. Huge play by Carlo. And he got his pocket picked on that breakaway attempt in the second period. But other than that, he's been terrific. He and McAvoy, because without them, Chara has been, you know, he's been a liability too much out there, unfortunately. But Carlo's been a revelation, no question about
it. But this is what you need to happen on the back end. They have to become, you know, the defense core that belongs to McAvoy and Carlo. Chara's 42. It has to happen. It had to happen this postseason. So McAvoy, they've both been better in the postseason as it's gone along. I didn't think either one of them started great.
On Rask, it's a fair point. It's not like he sprung any leaks. That first goal was leaky, but you know there's a mitigating circumstances there. They have leaked through Bobrovsky. Like, again, the other two goals were bar down. You know, Bobrovsky, the first one to Krejci, that was a dribbler. And so I feel like the Bruins have sort of sprung leaks through Bobrovsky more than the other way around.
So, but I think this is what Tortorella is alluding to, too, right? That no matter how you get them, it just pokes a hole in it. Because it starts to feel like there's a force field up there. And then all of a sudden you just can't get through it, no matter what.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. Zach, just follow up on the crowd thing, please.
Yeah, I was at the game on Saturday, too, and I think the third period, the crowd was definitely rocking, but the first two periods, it was a library in there. It was embarrassing. It was worse than a regular season game. So I think you...
Okay, then don't go. Don't go the next time. Did you think it was quiet the first two periods, Murray?
No.
This is annoying. Okay, so let's say it is a little quiet. So is Gillette. Gillette's super quiet. It is. It's known as one of the quietest full... It's the quietest full building I've ever been in, is Gillette Stadium. Does that... So what? What does that mean?
I don't understand it.
Are we bad fans?
No.
Are we bad fans? Do we not care?
No, people care almost too much. That's one of the great things about living around here. Doing this for a living.
Do we not care? Do we not show up? Are we not fans? Are we not invested? Do any of those things apply to Boston fans?
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.